This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
TikTok, 6 o'clock. It is July 19th, Friday. We are rocking and rolling here on Sports Talk. Going to be talking to Dr. David Chow this hour, a.k.a. Pro Football Doc, formerly a head team doctor in the NFL. Going to ask him about, obviously, the Ryan Ramczyk injury. Also, timeline with Chase Young. Well, can we expect him to come off the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list? I know if I just say the PUP list, people will get mad.
Will they? I've never met someone who actually got
it. It was like, you know, sometimes we just refer to OTAs, and it's like, what does that mean, OTAs? And it's like, all right, organized team activities.
Yeah. Yeah, puppers. Call them the pupper list.
I did not know about the difference between the reserve pup list and just the regular pup list yesterday. I learned something when we found out that Ryan Ramczyk will miss the entire season.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of players going on the reserve pup list just because you don't have to put them on the reserve pup list. I think it's just a sign that's like they probably have a signing that they're going to make. From a roster perspective, you want that roster spot for somebody. So, I mean, it's just, I think it's very telling of how confident the team is that he is not going to be ready at any point this season. And that's, you know, we talked to Scott about it. That's disappointing. That's Scott Shanley. Because he was so good for every game that you, like, there was never a game that you look at and be like, he just doesn't have it. But then he just wasn't there, you know? And that's really disappointing. So,
yeah. And obviously, this knee issue has been around
cartilage
for
don't grow
so
back.
Long. Yeah. It's like, you can't manufacture that either and just like inject it into him.
He probably will need to get a knee replacement, right? Like, but you can't play with a knee replacement. But I think a lot of that's just what happens as you kind of break down. That's why the NFL, your career doesn't last very long. Like, his career is probably a little shorter than you would have hoped if this was indeed his last game. But I mean, there's a reason NFL careers don't last very long, because you take a beating.
Yeah, especially, man, you know, you see it all the time on the sideline now. The offensive linemen, it's almost like they're gladiators down there with, you know, the different kinds of braces. Yeah. And you see it on their elbows, going across the chest, the knees. And it's a brutal job that you get no real love for. And Scott mentioned it, too. You, when you hear someone's name, that's usually a bad thing on the offensive line.
Yeah, we would go games without even saying Ryan Ramczyk in terms of like, oh, yeah, he's out there. They're just not beating him. But yeah, so well, I'm interested to hear what Dr. Chow has to say, because, you know, I think that's just a situation where it's not really difficult to figure out like why this is a problem, like why an offensive lineman with a bum knee cannot compete at an NFL level. It's just very jarring to see it go from where it was to nothing.
Yeah.
And so we'll see what he has to say.
I want to hear from you, what you have to say on our Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. You can sound off 504-260-1870. What you up to this Friday? We're going to go to that Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line now for James. James, what you got for us today, man?
Hey, guys. You know, hey, Scott brought up some valid points. The first one was, I always thought of, most of you guys disagree with me, but I always thought of Paulson as a safety, a better safety than a actual corner, just because of his speed. And, you know, so he mentioned having a bunch of guys out there at the corner position. I could see him being a single high safety. But the most important thing that Scott mentioned and made me think about the Titanic was we can really win this division. And that reason being, because everybody stinks. Like, I could rattle off to you why, you know, Carolina could win because they got a better offensive line than we do. Or I could say that they don't have any. They lost all their best players. But the most important thing that came to my mind listening to Scott and listening to the Deuce yesterday was the Titanic. My lady loves that movie. You remember the guys in the band? I'm pretty sure most of you guys saw the Titanic.
Playing
right?
to the end as it's sinking.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I feel like I'm that guy in the band, because I know better. I know that Dennis Allen stinks. I compare him to Sean. I know he can't compare to him. I read an article the other day where Reggie Bush was saying he hated Sean, but he ended up loving him. But he hated Sean because Sean was a disciplinarian,
right?
And he's not that. I know he's not that, but I listen, no disrespect to you guys, but I listen to everybody talk about, Dennis and, maybe and this and the Loomis. And I know he stinks. I know it.
I will say recently at SEC Media Days, Roman Harper called him one of the best coaches he's played for. So there's something there.
Yeah. And it's something where I'm coming from. He said, play your position. As a defensive coordinator, yes. Defensive coordinator, he's not maybe not great, but he's good at that. Okay, but we need more than that. There's low energy. I mentioned yesterday that Atlanta's going to don their throwback jerseys game four. I think we play them game four at their home stadium. They're there for a reason. There weren't no throwbacks for a reason, because it's the energy, it's the coach, the new coach was hired because he says he hates the Saints and all of this and that and low energy. We played with a lot of low energy last season, and the reason being because the coach has low energy. He's like Tom Landry without the wins,
Felt this team was low energy a year ago?
Some of the teams that we played, yes. When Detroit rolled out there and jumped on us, oh my God!
Well, that was definitely a problem with the Saints last year, is that they got it to really slow starts. I'll agree with that. That was a problem. Unfortunately, they would definitely, rally, come back, and be able to, put up some points and get back in the game. Sometimes too little, too late. I go back to like the Cajun Cannons talked about. The finish for this team at the end of the season tells me a ton about this team, and obviously head coach Dennis Allen too. The team believes in him. They haven't quit on him. They were one of the better teams down the stretch, and unfortunately, we just didn't see that team soon enough. But we can go through all the stats and look at things, but the Saints were playing some of their best football at the end of the year.
I just go back to the fact they won 9 games.
Right? Like, this isn't a 4-win team.
That's the thing that you hear people talk about the coach, and then you would assume they're talking about a 4-win team, right? And it's like, no, this is a 9-8 win team. They're a 9-8 team.
They don't have no passion. They don't care. I'm sick of that narrative.
They did start slow in several games, and that's obviously an issue. You look at the Jags game, look at the Texans game, Falcons game. Falcons game's a tough example because it was really more about turnovers. But the Vikings game is the other really obvious one. Rams game. There were several games last year.
I'm still haunted by Josh Dobbs.
They didn't show up, and that's an issue. And I agree in the terms of like whether it's energy, whether I talked to Tyron, and I think it was after the Vikings game, and I asked him, like, "Hey, maybe you should start having these like screaming matches before the game
instead of halftime
to get people amped up." And he was like, "Yeah, maybe." I don't know. Like, part of that's true. You can blame the coach. Part of that's on the players. Like, the players have to get out. Like, what do you think Dennis Allen is going to do to get the offense to play better in the first half of a game? Like, I don't know. So maybe that'll improve in Clint Kubiak. Like, the defense had, I think there were several games where the defense really struggled early in the game. So I put that on Dennis Allen. But no, again, it's like, okay, what are you putting on the coach, and what are you putting on the players, and what are you putting on everything else? And I don't know. When you go 9-8, it can't all be bad. But somehow, when I hear people talk about it, it's all bad.
It's amazing, too, because obviously I'll never diss Sean Payton. The man brought a Super Bowl to New Orleans, changed the culture of football, of black and gold here.
There's some
there's some – those 7 and 9 years, I remember fans calling for his head then.
Yeah, well, I mean, not as many as now for the current coach. But, yeah, I mean, that's the part of the Sean Payton era that gets glossed over way too easily.
Is Jarris Bird, 7 and 9 years.
Three consecutive 7 and 9 seasons. And you stuck through it. You know, if you're Mickey Loomis and you're looking at this and saying, man, we could have fired Sean Payton after the second 7 and 9 season.
Sure.
And everyone would have been like, yeah, okay, I get it. They stuck with him not just through two, through a third. You know, and so why suddenly would you say, would if you're Mickey Loomis, you'd be like, we're not going to do that this time. We're not going to be patient this time. If there's anything this team is, it's patient. And so, you know, I think
and
this
maybe,
is the
maybe
year where,
loyal to a fault, you could say.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely loyal to a fault. At least in some parts of the organization.
Yeah.
But, I think... And I mean, it goes to like even the way they manage their salary cap is it's under the assumption that these players are never going to leave, right? Like that's the downside of the way they manage the cap is you have to keep players around. You don't really have the option to just ship guys out of town when things aren't going well because then you get a cap bomb. Like when you don't re-sign David Onyemata, that's a cap bomb. When you don't re-sign Marcus Davenport, that's a cap bomb. Andrews Pete, that's a cap bomb. And so that's what, I don't know, there is a level of loyalty involved in like having to be loyal, but I don't know. I'm kind of rambling here, but.
For me, there's no doubt that Dennis Allen, you want to call it the hot seat going into this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's dialed up. There's a ton of pressure. Obviously, this team's missed the playoffs the last three seasons. Everyone is playoff starved. We heard Cam Jordan and Carl Granderson on the podcast yesterday talking about, man, it's been a while since I collected a playoff check. These guys want to make it there as well, too. Believe me, there's money involved there. There's pride. And, yeah, there's talk, obviously, this season with the Super Bowl being in New Orleans, you want to at least be in the dance to have a chance to play in the Superdome in the big game because it is your home team, your home venue. But I mean, the narrative that this team doesn't play for Dennis Allen, they don't respect Dennis Allen, I'm sick of hearing that. We've seen them improve the past 2 years under him, and there's still, for whatever reason, that negative energy that they want to bring around the head coach. It translates down to his pick at quarterback with Derek Carr. And I know we're considered Saints Radio, so we're the homers, always boosting things for the black and gold. All you guys ever do is pipe, you know, sunshine and rainbows for the Saints. But if you look at the talent on this roster, in my opinion, there is no reason to doubt that they are a playoff team this year.
They're getting worked up over there. I like it.
James got me set off today. Just like I said, I'm sick of hearing, they don't play hard. They don't like the coach. To me, it's just weak.
I mean, here's the thing. You don't finish the season the way they did if you've quit on the coach, if you don't want to play for the coach. Like that doesn't happen that way if the team's not committed. So we'll see. But you have to come back in and continue that. Like you have to play like you did at the end of last season, at the beginning of this season. Otherwise, it does become hard to justify. But no, I agree with you. I think it's a little over the top, and I'm a little tired of it. But hey, that's what this is. This is gripe season.
I got high blood pressure to deal with, so yeah, now we're going to need a doctor. Dr. David Chow is going to be joining us after the break here. Be right back with more sports talk after this. Who dat?
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak. Happy to welcome in the pro football doc, Dr. David Chow, to the radio huddle. How you been, Doc?
I'm doing well. Just got back from a vacation in Hawaii. Get one last family vacation.
That sounds nice.
It sounds like a perfect preparation for football season right there.
I don't know. Now I want another week.
Definitely wanted to get you on. Obviously, the big news yesterday for the Saints world was Ryan Ramczyk, season over after being put on the reserve, physically unable to perform this list. We've heard a ton about this knee injury with Ramczyk, and I know like the biggest worry right now for the Who Dat Nation Saints fans here is that is his career potentially over right now? What's your gauge on the Ramczyk situation in his knee?
Well, not a lot of optimism. Certainly hope to be wrong. Obviously, his season is over. But as far as career, hopefully not, but the expectation is likely. Whenever you're dealing with a cartilage injury, cartilage, articular cartilage, is very precious. Those are tough ones to come back from. And if he didn't come back from the surgery all the way into this season through the off season, what are the chances another year is going to all of a sudden change things? So not a lot of optimism there, but of course, hope to be wrong.
Yeah, and just to kind of go a little further into that, you say that's a tough one. What is it about like the cartilage issue in your knee that just makes it so difficult to, you know, like it just, it doesn't improve, right? Like it does, it's kind of, it is what it is, right?
Articular cartilage is the holy grail. It is the tread on our tires, so to speak, on our knees. And you can't just put on new tires.
Right.
I mean, if you wear out your articular cartilage, you're looking at a knee replacement. Well, can't you just replace it with metal or plastic? It's not that easy in terms of the shear forces. Can't you just regrow it? It's not that easy because of the way it's anchored and also because there's no blood supply. So articular cartilage is the most precious thing that we have in our knee, believe it or not, more so than, let's say, an ACL or a meniscus. Now, we don't want to lose those or injure those either, but what makes one ACL tear different than the next is the associated damage. Associated damage to what? Potentially the articular cartilage. It's reported as an ACL, but what else? And that's what differentiates them a lot of times.
You can find all of Dr. Chow's great information, too, on Sports Injury Central. A lot of great work there. Always great for fantasy football, too, folks. A site I definitely recommend you check out. Another guy we're concerned here, obviously, the Saints fans, Chase Young coming back from these neck surgery, and was put on the physically unable to perform list as well. What is a timeline, I guess, we can pencil in for him going into training camp? Obviously, he could be ready for Wednesday's first practice, but right now there's just a lot of question marks around him.
A lot more optimism for Chase Young than Ryan Ramczyk, even though it's a neck and people worry about necks more than knees. But, you know, obviously the situation was interesting. He signed and then there was surgery afterwards. And, you know, the story usually makes sense. I'm not sure that the Saints made a mistake. The reason why they potentially were comfortable signing him is because the next surgery you're talking about, cervical discectomy and fusion, is actually very reliable. That's the good news. Reliable recovery. You know, Chase Young, coming off his big knee issue, I think finally is getting really healthy. And I think this neck issue won't be that big of a deal this time around. The only caveat is a second neck surgery, a second neck injury, likely ends his career. If you look at the Cowboys linebacker that came out of Boise State, Leighton Vander Esch, had neck issues. We downgraded him a little bit in the draft, but the Cowboys drafted him. He did very well. He had one additional neck injury, had a fusion surgery, and we said he'd come back, and he did. And this last season, when he needed another neck surgery, we said, now that's the end of his career, and he's done. So right now, we're optimistic on Chase Young as long as he stays away from another neck issue.
You know, and this is something that you might be able to give some insight on. I think the timeline with Chase is interesting in that, you know, he went through the free agency process. He didn't get the surgery done coming out of the season. He waited until he signed with the team. Is that normal? Is that what you would typically see for a player in free agency? They'd want to get some commitments before having the surgery. I think there's probably some element of, you know, you let their doctors kind of give insight. What do you see in that? Because it did seem kind of strange, as some level of leverage of like, hey, let's get this deal done, because the sooner we get the deal done, the sooner I can get the surgery, and then the sooner I can get back.
Well, that shows a couple of things. And I wasn't in Chase's shoes, and if I would have examined Chase Young, I wouldn't be able to talk about him. But the reality is this. Part of it may be he and his camp knew that the surgery has a pretty finite recovery timeline that can be done before the season, and therefore teams would know that, so he wasn't in a hurry. And maybe he used that to leverage signing. I don't know. It's also possible that his case was a little bit borderline, where he said, you know, I'm going to try and make it through the year and not have the surgery, right? Because I think my symptoms have quieted down. And it may have been the Saints that said, look, if we're going to sign you and pay the money, you need to go have the surgery because we need you more reliable, not week in, week out with a neck stinger issue.
That's interesting. You know, and I think, yeah, timelines are always, this time of year, timelines are king. Okay, when does this guy get back? One question Steve asked me yesterday was regarding Tano Passanio. He tore his Achilles during an off-season workout. And, you know, when it comes to an Achilles, it feels like, hey, there's kind of a variation of like, okay, some Achilles injuries take forever to come back from, some heal a little quicker. When you're talking about a guy who tears his Achilles in the off-season, it's obviously not an ideal time because you don't get that kind of extra runway of, hey, if you tore it in week 10, there's extra time. What would your projected timeline be for a guy in that situation? Do you think it's possible he gets back this season? And what is the variation there?
Which side is he on? Which side was torn again? I know he tore his Achilles, and I have a remembrance of the date. Is that information known?
We don't know the exact date, but it was an off-season workout, so it was post-draft. And I'm not sure which
that,
side.
That makes me very worried. You don't have your explosion. Look, I was the first one to come on Pat McAfee and do the whole ESPN thing that I was sure that Pat McAfee on that show, I said I was sure that Aaron Rodgers would be fine for next season and he wasn't going to retire. And I even said there's an outside chance he could return to play last season. Obviously, he didn't, but there was a lot of talk about it. And I said that day one. Because of the position he plays, he's more of a pocket guy. You know, if you need explosion, that's very, very difficult to do. And everyone points at the Rams running back, Cam Akers, who returned that same season, you know, from a preseason injury. But he was a shell of himself as running back in the playoffs, right? And so I think it's hard enough when you ask a guy to recover from an injury, but you're asking him to recover from an injury and jump a level of play. And that really hasn't been done much with Achilles, so I'm fairly actually pessimistic, at least until later in the season, maybe. But that doesn't make him a bad draft pick. It's just you have to temper expectations for this year.
Gotcha. You know, kind of shifting into fantasy gear, and I want to talk about Chris Olave a little bit. You know, I don't want you to speculate on, he's on the non-football injury list, and reports are it's a back thing. But I guess my question is more, you look at a guy who's dealt with concussions year one and year two, he's had ankle issues, he's missed a couple of games. As you look at Chris Olave from a fantasy football perspective, is he a guy that you downgrade to any extent as an injury risk as you go through it? Because it does seem like, you know, his little sleight of frame, he takes a bit too much damage throughout the course of the season. I'm curious how you weigh that, because he does seem like a guy who, if he's on the field, has a chance to put up huge numbers.
Well, I don't like the term injury prone. I would argue everybody in the NFL is injury prone. That's fair. Because the game of football is not a contact sport. Basketball is a contact sport. The game of football is a collision sport. And when you're a wide receiver taking shots and collisions, besides revving engines at high speed, running, jumping, and cutting, there is more injury risk. But I don't know that makes him injury prone. I don't like that designation. Unless, let's say that's a hamstring that's preventable and it's recurrent again and again and again, and the next guy wouldn't get this. The only guys that I label as injury prone. I don't put Chris Olave in that category, but he's certainly has been at risk over time. And I'm thrilled to have come on to you guys because I thought a lot of Saints audience didn't like me because of my previous Michael Thomas comments.
That was just Michael Thomas, not the Saints fans.
Yeah, I think you can put Mike Thomas in that category, but I think Saints fans are ambivalent at worst.
Well, yeah, I get it. And I wasn't trying. Look, I think Michael Thomas was great. Everyone was excited about him when he was coming back this last time. And I was like, look, with all the talent you got there, when he got last played a full season, he was like the top three receiver in the NFL. With his long absence, he's more likely to be a number three receiver on the Saints than a top three in the league. And unfortunately, it worked out that way. But, you know, I just try and call it like I see it. And many times I'm wrong. I'm not examining Michael Thomas or anyone else. So I'm the first one to hope for the best and know that you can't be perfect from afar. But having done it in the league and so forth, you see certainly some patterns. I actually have a question for you guys. We're working on our preseason injury preview for all the teams, and we're working on the Saints and so forth. Juwan Johnson,
yeah.
There's not a lot of information out there on him. What do you guys know? How can you? Is there video? Is there any information other than, you know, what's been out there publicly? You guys are on the inside. Help me out here so then I can interpret that a little better.
No, it's a good question because it did kind of come out of nowhere. We saw him at OTAs, and he wasn't limited in any way, and he wasn't there at minicamp. And I think the way Dennis Allen described it sounds like it was kind of a stress injury, right? Something that kind of developed in his foot, and he had a surgery to correct it. It does sound like he's going to miss some time in camp, but I think there's optimism that it's not an extended period of time. So we'll have to see. But yeah, it did kind of come out of nowhere because, like I said, he was there for all the OTAs, didn't miss a rep, and then all of a sudden he wasn't. So yeah, there is a good bit of mystery.
Of course, there's no video and whatever, but that's what we've been going on. Our feeling is it's likely a fifth metatarsal stress fracture, being a ball catcher that has to cut and do things just like your other guy that you drafted, Nikitas Kulyat, right?
Yes.
With the fifth metatarsal stress fracture.
Yeah, Jones fracture. I think that's the same thing, right?
Yeah, it's another name for it. Jones fracture, fifth metatarsal stress fracture. A lot of pass catchers get it because of the cutting that they do. The good news is usually with surgery it heals and heals well. The bad news is you can't rush it. It just takes longer time. You can't really rush it. And, is Juwan Johnson going to be fine for this season? I fully expect him to play this season. Is it going to be week one? We'll see. I mean, I think his surgery, was June, 3 months is on the shorter side. I feel better about 4 months. So you have to temper a little bit with him. And, of course, the last thing you want to do is rush him because when you rush a fifth metatarsal fracture or a Jones fracture and there's a flare-up again, especially if you need a second surgery, then you lose him for the season. So discretion may be the better part of valor there.
Yeah, one other injury that hopefully is in the rear view and we don't end up talking about it much more is Derek Carr's shoulder last season. It originally looked way worse than it ended up being in terms of missing time, but it did seem like something that lingered throughout the course of the year.
It weighed on him for sure,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and I'm curious, when you look at an injury like that, a shoulder injury for a quarterback, is that something that you would typically want to see a player sit and recover, or is it just going to be something that you have to play through? Because I think that was a debate that was being had, especially a week four against the Bucks. So it was a week three injury. He played in week four against the Bucks, didn't play well. And then you saw throughout the course of the season that, as he got healthier, he played better. But should they have sat him down? Where would you land on that?
Well, if to refresh my memory, I believe I don't have all my computer in front of me. That was an AC joint separation, correct?
Yes.
Sprain. And that sprain, yeah, separation, sprain, same thing. Here's the thing with that. First of all, it's hard for me, seeing how tough these guys are, to discredit anyone for trying to play through when they're hurt.
Right.
And some guys can cope better than others. Look, a lot of people, including quarterbacks in my time, have played through an AC joint sprain with a game day injection, and they usually work pretty well. I don't know if Derek Carr had one or didn't have one or whether he was just toughing it out, but it also kills you for practice time. And Derek Carr still was new with the team, right, relatively speaking. And, it's one thing if you're, Drew Brees, and you don't practice all week, and you play through hurt. And it's publicly known, I've treated Drew Brees, and he's as tough as they come. And he allowed me to write a story once where he played through AC joint injury, albeit on the other side, and had injections every week for a while in his last season, in the second to last season in San Diego with the Chargers. But everybody's different. And Drew Brees on the Saints, I would argue, has played through injuries and hasn't necessarily needed to practice and looked fine. Derek Carr may get there, but, the newness is something too.
Doc, definitely always appreciate your time. You can check out all your great work at Sports Injury Central. Also follow him, Pro Football Doc on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Like I said, appreciate the time and hopefully your re-entry into the real world after Hawaii goes a little bit smoother.
Yeah, and I hope I'm breaking the ice with Saints fans, where I'm actually trying to tell it like it is, but be friendly.
No, we love you down here, Doc, for sure. It was just like I said, maybe the player didn't appreciate what you had to say.
Yeah, no, we appreciate it, Dr. Chow. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks.
Have a good one. Dr. David Chow, like I said, Sports Injury Central, to me, a must-follow website during fantasy football season because of all the great info that comes out there for your roster, and I'm definitely in tune with it and looking forward to this season, of course, in fantasy. Going to be pretty soon when we end up doing drafts there. I know I like to wait till after the last preseason game to do any kind of draft, though, just because obviously you can't have an injury, and then it's like, oh, great. I should have waited.
Yeah, I don't like doing early drafts. It's just not worth it.
I'll do a ton of mock drafts, though, in fantasy football. Yes. I am a preseason fantasy football addict when it comes to drafts.
Yeah, when your first-round pick is Aaron Rodgers and he turns his ACLs, Achilles. I guess it wouldn't matter. It was the week one game, but yeah, no, we'll find out. I did appreciate what he said about Chris Olave because it's a good question. Like, are there certain players that you draft higher because health-wise you feel more confident in them? I don't know.
Stepping away, be back with more sports talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. All right, folks, how'd you like to see the Eagles in concert at the Sphere in Las Vegas? WWL wants to hook you up with a pair of tickets to the Eagles at the Sphere in Vegas with round-trip airfare, a two-night hotel stay at the Venetian Resort Las Vegas. Plus, you get a $200 gift card and a Vibe VIP hotel and experience package. To enter to win this national contest, just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to WWL for 1 hour. Come back each day for another chance to win. Log in, listen, and win from WWL.
I've seen that Sphere in person. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Oh, really? You haven't been inside, though, huh?
I've not been inside, but the outside is the wild part. I think it was a basketball for a little while.
And right.
Yeah, it's quite a thing.
No, definitely something. If I ever make it out to Vegas again, I would love to see
you. If you make it to Vegas, there, yeah. You're going to
see
it.
Yeah, I want to go inside and see a concert.
You can see it from the airport. I think at one point it was an eyeball. It was very weird, but yeah.
No, it'll be very cool to see. Obviously, with the expected A's moving from Oakland to Vegas, I could see becoming a baseball.
I imagine they'll play inside because it is in fact a desert. Yeah, I was out there a year ago, and they were just opening it at that point, I believe. Like, it was new. I don't think they had, like, the U2's in residence now, or they were in residence.
Yeah, and I know then after that it was the Grateful Dead, I think, for a little bit.
Yeah, but it's not even really. I always forget. And the Eagles are not the full Eagles anymore. Like, it's all these bands have like spare parts that they've had to put in for because they're all old.
Is there a band right now that you would slap down the big bucks for the airfare, hotel, and tickets to the Sphere to see?
No.
No, huh?
No, but I'm poor, so I'm not a good person to ask.
I'm pretty poor too, though, so I get it. But for me, it's Sade. I know it doesn't sound very exciting for most folks, but me and the wife definitely appreciate that. I've been dying
to
see her.
Here's the thing. Those bands typically come here. So I'm not like I don't why would I travel when like Jazz Fest is here every year? I'd rather like I saw the Rolling Stones at Jazz Fest.
Jazz
right?
Fest is the ultimate. That was the best.
Taking
my favorite
Back
thing
Sunday
about this
showed
city.
Up here, so I went to see them here. You know, the best band I've seen live in a long time was the Revivalists.
Yes, they are awesome.
Really good live. Like you forget like what a 10-piece band is like live on a stage.
But, and then I think it was like a Blue Moon commercial. One of their songs ended up on. I'm like, oh, good for them getting paid.
Yeah, New Orleans band. New Orleans native band.
We got one last segment, folks. Close
this
things
is a sports
out
show.
On our Friday edition. We can venture off a little bit. We'll be back with more of sports talk right after this here on WWL. I'm getting a little teary eyed, Jeff. It's going to be a last time in a long time I'm going to be sitting across from
Aww.
You.
That's nice.
Flying out Monday.
I thought you were going to say you've been looking up Quan Alexander's injury history.
No.
That makes me
we
sad,
did have
too.
Someone on the talk and text line asking about the Saints bringing back Quan, but I didn't even realize, first off, he was with the Steelers last year, and then once
getting
again,
fined
man,
for big
oh,
hits.
Man, suffering another Achilles injury that ended his season, so I can't imagine Quan coming back again, but you never know. He seems to be the injury wonder of being able to sustain so many, but still lasting in the NFL.
Yeah, you feel bad for him because he's like an upbeat guy. I've never heard someone say legendary so many times in my life.
No, that you talk about a team guy, and I've never seen players attach, latch on, rally around someone
the
so
Juice
quickly.
Boys.
Yeah, That spread real quick, and you felt that vibe.
I don't even know if he was necessarily that good with the Saints. He was just really fun to watch. You know, like I mean, go back to that Eagles game and watch Miles Sanders run for 70-yard touchdown. You know whose fault it was? Anyway, but no, he was a fun guy to be around. Like that's always a balance that you have to strike within an NFL locker room. It's like, okay, is this the best option? Also, is this the best option for the team and for the environment? And I think Kwan was a really, you know, like they didn't re-sign him after the Achilles injury. And then I remember Sean Payton being like, okay, we're going to sign him so I can stop seeing his workout videos. You know, and they brought him back. I don't know. But
I think a lot of it, obviously, the local connection, LSU, the love for the purple and gold, and
legendary.
Wanting to see him back in the black and gold. And, yeah, obviously being an amazing teammate and that kind of vocal presence you totally appreciate. And, yeah, him and DeMario together were quite the pairing. Like you said, maybe not so much on the field for Kwan.
I mean, he had some nice moments.
It was just definitely a liability.
Was the Christmas Day game that he tore his Achilles? It was late in that season. It was late in the 2020 season that he tore his Achilles. And that was a really good team at that point. It was a really good defense. And that definitely hurt them down the stretch of that season. You know, that was a team that, you know, we've talked about this. I think we talked about this on the podcast. You know, that 2020 team was a lot closer.
You're good, sir. December 25th, 2020.
It was the Alvin Kamara game, the Kamara-geddon game with the six touchdowns.
And Kamara-geddon.
That 2020 team, like we talk about 2018, we talk about, you know, I think that 2020 team was one of the closer teams they had to actually winning a Super Bowl. Because you look at like what the Bucs were able to do once they got past the Saints. They just boat raced the Packers and the Chiefs. The Saints had the best chance to beat them. And that team just was beset by so many injuries at that point that they just couldn't get over the hump. Breeze was hurt. Taysom was hurt. Deontay Hardy was hurt. Kwan was hurt.
Right.
And they just couldn't get it done. But, you know, what could have been if they Mike Thomas was hurt. What could have been if they had a healthy season?
Well, the next time I talk to you, you'll be on California time.
Yes, I will.
Jeff flying out Monday as well as the team for Irvine, California. And then the first practice on Wednesday, we'll be hearing updates from you and the rest of the gang out there in California. Appreciate everyone's time today. Have a great Friday, great weekend. For Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, and Steve Geller, have a good night. All right, folks, how'd you like to see the Eagles in concert at the Sphere in Las Vegas? WWL wants to hook you up with a pair of tickets to the Eagles at the Sphere in Vegas with round-trip airfare, a two-night hotel stay at the Venetian Resort Las Vegas. Plus, you get a $200 gift card and a Vibe VIP hotel and experience package. To enter to win this national contest, just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to WWL for 1 hour. Come back each day for another chance to win. Log in, listen, and win from WWL.
I've seen that Sphere in person. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Oh, really? You haven't been inside though, huh?
I've not been inside, but the outside is the wild part. I think it was a basketball for a little while.
And right.
Yeah, it's quite a thing.
No, definitely something. If I ever make it out to Vegas again, I would love to see
you. If you make it to Vegas,
there,
you're
going to see it. Yeah, I want to go inside and see a concert.
You can see it from the airport. I think at one point it was an eyeball. It was very weird, but yeah.
No, it'll be very cool to see. Obviously, with the expected A's moving from Oakland to Vegas, I could see becoming a baseball.
I imagine they'll play inside because it is in fact a desert. Yeah, I was out there a year ago, and they were just opening it at that point, I believe. Like, it was new. I don't think they had, like, the U2's in residence now, or they were in residence.
Yeah, and I know then after that it was the Grateful Dead, I think, for a little bit.
Yeah, but it's not even really. I always forget. And like, well, the Eagles are not the full Eagles anymore. Like, it's all these bands have like spare parts that they've had to put in for because they're all old.
Is there a band right now that you would slap down the big bucks for the airfare, hotel, and tickets to the Sphere to see?
No.
No, huh?
No, but I'm poor, so I'm not a good person to ask.
I'm pretty poor too, though, so I get it. But for me, it's Sade. I know it doesn't sound very exciting for most folks, but me and the wife definitely appreciate that. I've been dying
to
see her.
Here's the thing. Those bands typically come here. So I'm not like I don't why would I travel when like Jazz Fest is here every year? I'd rather, like, I saw the Rolling Stones at Jazz Fest.
Jazz
right?
Fest is the ultimate. That was my
Taking
favorite
Back
thing
Sunday
about this
showed
city.
Up here, so I went to see them here. You know, the best band I've seen live in a long time was the Revivalists.
Yes, they are awesome.
Really good live. Like, if you forget like what a 10-piece band is like live on a stage.
But, and then I think it was like a Blue Moon commercial. One of their songs ended up on. I'm like, oh, good for them getting paid.
Yeah, New Orleans band. New Orleans native band.
We got one last segment, folks. Close
this
things out
show.
On our Friday edition. We can venture off a little bit. I'll be back with more of Sports Talk right after this here on WWL. I'm getting a little teary-eyed, Jeff. It's going to be a last time in a long time I'm going to be sitting across from you.
That's nice.
Flying out Monday.
I thought you were going to say you've been looking up Quan Alexander's injury history.
No.
That makes me
we
sad,
did have
too.
Someone on the talk and text line asking about the Saints bringing back Quan, but I didn't even realize. First off, he was with the Steelers last year, and then once
getting
again,
fined
man,
for big
oh
hits.
Man, suffering another Achilles injury that ended his season. So I can't imagine Quan coming back again, but you never know. He seems to be the injury wonder of being able to sustain so many but still lasting in the NFL.
Yeah, you feel bad for him because he's like an upbeat guy. I've never heard someone say legendary so many times in my life.
No, that you talk about a team guy, and I've never seen players attach, latch on, rally around someone
the
so
juice
quickly.
Boys.
Yeah. That spread real quick, and you felt that vibe.
I don't even know if he was necessarily that good with the Saints. He was just really fun to watch. You know, like I mean, go back to that Eagles game and watch Miles Sanders run for 70-yard touchdown. You know whose fault it was? Anyway, but no, he was a fun guy to be around. Like that's always a balance that you have to strike within an NFL locker room. It's like, okay, is this the best option? Also, is this the best option for the team and for the environment? And I think Quan was a really, you know, like they didn't re-sign him after the Achilles injury. And then I remember Sean Payton being like, okay, we're going to sign him so I can stop seeing his workout videos. You know, and they brought him back. I don't know. But
I think a lot of it, obviously, the local connection, LSU, the love for the purple and gold, and
legendary.
Wanting to see him back in the black and gold. And, obviously being an amazing teammate and that kind of vocal presence you totally appreciate. And, him and DeMario together were quite the pairing. Like you said, maybe not so much on the field for Quan.
I mean, he had some nice moments.
It was
just
definitely a liability.
Was it the Christmas Day game that he tore his Achilles? It was late in that season. It was late in the 2020 season that he tore his Achilles. And that was a really good team at that point. It was a really good defense. And that definitely hurt them down the stretch of that season. You know, that was a team that, you know, we've talked about this. I think we talked about this on the podcast. You know, that 2020 team was a lot closer.
You're good, sir. December 25th, 2020.
It was the Alvin Kamara game, the Kamara-geddon game with the six touchdowns.
And Kamara-geddon.
That 2020 team, like we talk about 2018, we talk about, you know, I think that 2020 team was one of the closer teams they had to actually winning a Super Bowl. Because you look at like what the Bucs were able to do once they got past the Saints. They just boat raced the Packers and the Chiefs. The Saints were had the best chance to beat them. And that team just was beset by so many injuries at that point that they just couldn't get over the hump. Breeze was hurt. Taysom was hurt. Deontay Hardy was hurt. Quan was hurt.
Right.
And they just couldn't get it done. But, you know, what could have been if they Mike Thomas was hurt? What could have been if they had a healthy season?
Well, the next time I talk to you, you'll be on California time.
Yes, I will.
Jeff flying out Monday as well as the team for Irvine, California. And then the first practice on Wednesday, we'll be hearing updates from you and the rest of the gang out there in California. Appreciate everyone's time today. Have a great Friday, great weekend. For Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, and Steve Geller, have a good night.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.